All right, this is Al Vince coming at you from Studio 2. Got my good friend Josh Raymond in the house. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good, Al. How about you?
Well, I'm good. It's been just a little bit of time since we were in Studio 2 together with the recording on here.
It's good. I'll say it. It's good to be back in Studio 2.
It's good to be back. When was our last show? So this is episode 51. We crossed the half century mark with our last show, which was what, the Super Show, the NCAA preview?
Yeah. So it was back in March.
March, right.
Do you have Mac Ryder in the studio?
Yes, which was awesome.
Yeah, the Mr. NCAA, I like to call him.
Absolutely. Speaking of Mac Ryder, on the bus ride back, he just nonchalantly asked if anybody was into F1. Car racing, like the European stuff, and
yep.
Nobody spoke up and said okay, and so on he went. Well, of course, I Google it the next week and found The Drive to Survive, some Netflix series, and watched the whole thing. And now I actually watch F1 racing occasionally, which is odd. But so thanks, Mac Ryder, for that distraction.
Yep. So just what he needed. You wonder why we haven't been able to get back in studio, Mac. Thanks a lot.
Oh man, that was quite a trip, wasn't it?
It was, and it was. It feels like forever ago, but it was fun to be able to watch so many Minnesota kids compete there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Detroit. Like, there's a lot of things I don't remember about the trip, but there are some that I do. And the thing that sticks out most, you know, in my memory is the Peyton Robb versus Ja'Cory Teamer match.
Teamer, man, what an iconic photo taken at the end of that match. I don't remember who took it, but it was posted all over the internet. And, you know, Matt Scott Willie said he was going to put that in his recording studio. That was the next picture going up. And essentially, Josh, it's the two of them laying on the mat, flat on their backs with their arms out, so exhausted they can't really get up. It reminds me of like the old school all-star wrestling when the two guys knock each other out and lay on their back and the referee calls pins for both, you know, to a two count. That's what it looked like. They were exhausted.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. It was crazy match.
If you got the chance and you haven't seen it, I'm sure you can probably track it down on YouTube, I would guess. Go watch it, because the end of that match, you know, Peyton had a lead and Ja'Cory started his sprint with like maybe 45 seconds left.
Yeah, and it was a sprint, man. Those two, the scrambles going on for the end of a 7-minute match between those two guys was just off the charts, man.
That late in the tournament, I mean, what was that? Was that the Concy semis?
Yeah, it would have been Concy semis, I think, right? Because Peyton ended up getting fourth.
Yeah, and Ja'Cory went and wrestled for fifth.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet any of my money on it, but maybe some of yours.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, that was, but just such an awesome finish to a match. And like I say, the picture is really, really cool.
And, you know, we've all seen a million pictures of athletes, you know, giving each other a hug after a match. So that wouldn't have been anything way out of the ordinary, but like they stood up and leaned on each other. You know, they were, talk about leaving nothing left in the tank. Those two guys did it. It was super cool.
It's been that long since we've been in. See, that was the first thing I wanted to talk about after the NCAA tournament.
So I'll say this, because I don't know if I'll ever go back to Detroit on purpose. I had very little interest in going to Detroit.
Yeah.
And the city was okay. What we saw of it, the area was actually fairly clean. The arena was awesome.
Yeah.
It was one of the coolest venues I'd ever been to. Like, it had the little city built in on the outside of the arena, all covered, tons of, the one day it poured rain, right? But you got to the arena, you got in there, and they had, you know, food and drinks and all kinds of stuff all there outside the arena. It was a nice setup. I liked it.
Yeah, that, not bad at all. I would say, I would go back for sure. That the venue was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and if they could pick that up and move it elsewhere to a fun city, that might be even better. But anyway, yeah, I thought Detroit did a good job hosting for what I expected.
Yep, agreed. Okay, well, that's our NCAA recap.
Well, so Josh, when we've texted each other, I don't know, texted or seen each other a lot of times since March, and generally one of the questions one of us asks the other is, when are we going to get together and podcast? And the answer is always soon, but we just haven't done it. So when we finally decided to do this the other day, you text me and said, we got to get back in studio. I agree 100%. how about Wednesday? I said, that sounds good. We'll record Wednesday. I said, which of the dozens of huge events since we last spoke do you want to talk about, right? We've got tons to talk about, and I'm sure we're going to miss things. But I say we just kind of go through a little checklist of events we can remember and just chat a little bit about each one.
I think that it'll work out perfect because, you know, some people that are going to listen to this show, I talked to them earlier tonight.
Yep.
And that was the extent of the prep work I did for today.
Right.
So, you know, we're kind of shooting from the hip here, but let's do it. We just got to get rolling again.
Let's do it. Well, what was the last event you were at? Super 32?
Yep.
Let's just start there.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things we could start. Let's start with the middle school division. We'll touch on that just a smidge because these kids, we had three kids placed in the middle school division.
Yep.
Down there. And they're probably all, I guess Liam Collins might not be wrestling varsity. I don't know if he's quite going to be big enough this year. He took sixth place. He's from Prior Lake. Super tough kid. He's coming. If you don't know him yet, keep an eye out for him. Like say, he's probably got to get a little bit bigger yet.
Sure.
Then Lincoln Robidoux from St. Michael Albertville, he took third. I think there's a real good chance he could be in that St. Michael Albertville starting lineup. This is a 106-pounder this year.
Sure.
And then Braden Boots took sixth. He's from St. Francis.
Nice.
Those three all had real nice tournaments. Callie Graber, she took third on the girls' side. She was our only girl placer down there this year, and she wrestles for Northfield. Trains out of Summit Wrestling Club, if you're familiar with that.
I am.
Now on the boys, on the high school division, Minnesota had six or seven placers. Landon Robidoux from St. Michael Everville, Lincoln's older brother, he took seventh. Cole Hahn-Lindemeyer from Farmington, he took fifth. Joey Novak from New Prague took fifth. Zach Hansen from Lakeville North took fourth. Coy Biskins from New Prague took third. And Ryder Rogatsky wins the tournament for the second year in a row.
It's got to be Minnesota's first two-time champ, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and he avenged a loss to A.J. Heeg, I believe, from Oklahoma.
In the semis, maybe?
Yeah, he beat him in the semis. He lost to him at in Fargo.
Sure.
And after, I think it was in Fargo, and after Heeg beat him, he stood, and actually, you know what, I'm remembering now, this was kind of a controversial match, too. Like, I hate to say this, but I think it was officiated poorly.
In Fargo?
Yes. I think, if this is the match I'm remembering, Ryder, there was an exchange where Ryder, like, rolled through on, like, a headlock position and didn't get points or something. There's something that happened in that match, but anyways, Heeg beat him in Fargo, and then when he stood up, he took his hands, and he, like, dusted off his shoulders. You know, I guess...
Heeg did?
Heeg did.
Ooh.
When he beat Ryder. Well, I'm telling you this much. If, spoiler alert, if you wrestle Ryder Rogatsky, Al, and you happen to beat him, do not give him any extra ammunition for the next time you wrestle him.
The answer to all three of those is no, no, and absolutely no.
I'm not wrestling
Ryder. If I did, I wouldn't beat him. Sure as heck ain't gonna do anything to antagonize him. That is the last kid I'm going to do that to.
And he absolutely pulverized Heeg. Like, I mean, whatever the score was, maybe it was 4-2, but...
But just a brutal one-sided... Oh,
brutal one-sided match. Like, Heeg, his first, you know, he took down in the second period, I want to say, and he got to his feet once, and there was a huge mat return on a rider. He got to his feet again, another huge mat return on a rider. I don't know if he tried too hard to get to his feet again after the second or third one.
Right? Hey, Shane Sparks loves it, right? Those big mat returns. And people are like, well, that mat return takes a lot of energy. Well, it does, but trying to get to your feet over and over only to be pounded back to the mat takes a little gas out of the bottom guy, too.
Oh, yeah, it did for sure. It was pretty impressive. Like, he was dominant.
And so what did Ryder do after he won? Did he do any showboating or anything?
No, this is the best part. He literally stood in the center of the circle, I should say on the edge of the inner circle.
Yep.
And Heeg sat there kind of on one knee with his head down, you know, he's bummed out, he lost, he was dejected or whatever, and he had his head down, and he sat there for 30 seconds like that, and Ryder sat there and just waited in the center.
Just That's waited so awesome.
And stared at him the whole time. And I mean, there's a couple pictures out there of this sequence
yep.
of him doing nothing but just standing tall. And one of them is really cool because it's got him looking at Heeg. Heeg's head is down. And then in the background is Perry, Ryder's dad.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you that don't know who Perry is, Ryder's dad. And a pretty cool father-son type of picture. Like, I don't know who took it, but it's...
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, Ryder didn't return the favor with any gestures or anything like that. He just...
So much better than doing something back at him. Because, you know, if someone's watching that match and doesn't know the history, they just think, who's this punk from Minnesota talking trash to this Oklahoma kid, right?
Right.
But now, nobody can think that. And some people did see that first match, and some people did remember it. And they're like, ooh, what's going to come?
Yeah. And
just stand and wait at the middle.
It was awesome. It was like one of those situations where doing nothing was so much better than doing something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was really cool to see. And it was really cool to see the Minnesota kids, you know, all the Minnesota kids that were there. They're really supportive of each other. And, you know, he had a nice fan section. You know, he had 25 kids there cheering for him.
Right.
And a bunch of their parents. And so that was fun to see a Stillwater kid win the second one.
So, hey, speaking of 25 kids, you mentioned a stat to me earlier. You said that there was somebody compiled essentially placing percentage by the number of competitors. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Yep. Your placing percentage by the number of state or by your number of entrants from your state.
So if you've got 10 kids there in two place, you've got a 20%, right?
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yep. And now this stat was shared with me by a wrestling dad. I don't know if I'm not. Yeah, here it is. Okay. So Minnesota had finished first in the highest percentage for, placing points, you know, based on the number of wrestlers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had 23% of our wrestlers scored points.
Man, and I tell you, every year when this comes up, and I won't stop saying it, we say it every year.
23% of wrestlers that placed, sorry. Yeah,
23% that showed up placed.
Yep.
That's a huge percentage. You know, we talk about every year how tough that is, and every year we talk about, you know, folks that go down there for the first time ever, and just walk away shaking their head, right? Like it's you got to see it to believe it. That's really the only thing you can say.
Yeah. And we can't stress it enough. The crazy part about that stat is New Prague had two placers.
Right.
They had Colton Bornholt who didn't place. He lost in the blood round.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They almost had three placers on their own.
That's pretty good for a state to have three place winners. Say anything about a school.
Right. One school in Minnesota. I mean, Bornhold had a great tournament. The kids he lost to were no slouches by any means.
Right.
I think he went 5-2 on the weekend. And it, like I say, him, Biskins, and Joey Novak. Joey Novak lost to a guy on the front side that I don't think, if you know Joey, maybe didn't feel like he wrestled his best match.
Sure.
Or, you know, maybe not even close to his best match. Well, he wrestled the same kid on the...
Coming back.
Yeah, on the wrestlebacks. And he measured him like 16-4.
Oh, wow.
That felt like...
After he had to wrestle twice as many matches, that kid on the backside, right?
Yeah.
Because that kid's... Every other match, it's only consies, right? So every other round, that kid's taking a break while Joey's wrestling an extra match.
Yes, exactly. So I'm sure the University of Wyoming was happy to see Joey, you know, come on back like he did there. And he wrestled a very nice tournament.
Nice.
Say Zach Hansen, he took fourth. Great tournament, you know, huge bracket. Those guys are, all the brackets are huge down
there.
Oh,
my gosh, some of those brackets are giant.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch. Just Parker Jansen, another kid. He wrestled there last year, had a great tournament.
Yep.
Wrestled super tough. Found out after the tournament that he was, I think it was a shoulder, he had a shoulder injury. And he was actually going to be, he missed the high school season last year.
Right.
Well, he got surgery and he's back and he recovered. And he had a great tournament. He also wrestled seven matches, went 5-2. But his bracket was such, he had so many kids in his bracket, he actually didn't make it to day two.
Yeah, right.
And wrestled them seven matches in one day.
So seven matches a day, you probably won't bring it up. I'm following online, my wife and I. And I see Cash, your son, lost a first-round match, tough match. And we were doing something that weekend, and it was a little while before we checked back in. And I told Jen, I said, I'm going to go go see if Cash won a match, right? Because I know what those brackets are like. I know what even the backside's like. Hopefully Cash found a way to win a match or two. I go look, and yep, I said, yep, Cash won a match, close match, tough match, and then another, and another, and another, and another. So he won five in a row on the backside.
Yeah.
And then lost a tough match, right? So he went 5-2 as well, didn't even make it to the blood round.
No.
Oh, and Jen said, well, that's dumb. Why don't they wrestle to the blood round, right? On that first day, every other tournament does. And I said, well, so Cash technically had a bye in his first round, like a round of 684 kids or whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever that first
then
round
he lost,
is.
Won five in a row and lost and didn't make it the blood round. I go, do you think he should wrestle 9 matches in the very first day? She goes, okay, good point, right? Yeah. Like those brackets are giant. And I didn't go through and count them up this year, but some of those brackets have 20, 30, 40 kids that are state champs. And some of them, obviously, 2-3 times state champs, whatever. But, like, it's just crazy that 2-time state champs from reasonable wrestling states don't get seeded because those brackets are so deep.
Oh, my gosh. They're just they're just crazy. Yeah, and you don't realize that until you're there to see it. And you see good kids, like really, you see great kids,
yep.
You know, just fighting to stay alive. It's worth mentioning Alan Kaler from Prior Lake. He was buzzsawing through the tournament, and he wrestled Vinny Kilkeary from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I want to say it was in the quarters. And he ended up getting dinged up in that match. Like, I think it was on a kind of a mat return situation, and leg got caught maybe or landed funny.
Okay.
And he ended up not finishing the tournament, you know, but not because Alan didn't want to, because, you know, Alan will wrestle any place.
Right, right.
You could hit him with a car and he would be ready to wrestle.
Right.
But his dad is older and wiser and said, you know.
He's definitely older.
He's definitely, yeah, good point. He's definitely older. Actually, it was probably Rebecca calling from back home.
I would
home,
assume
say,
so, right? Some hey, good advice from the home front.
Yeah, a voice of reason here. But he did not finish the tournament. He was dealing with some type of injury. I don't know what it was. Didn't ask too many questions, but he would have been another one on the podium for sure.
Sure, yeah. You know,
Bryce Burkett had a great tournament. Said Bornhold. Jed Wester had a great tournament. For the second year in a row, Tyson Termoli didn't make weight. But this year, he only had to go up one weight class. He only missed it by one weight class. Last year, he missed it by two. But,
oh, man, that's every year. Well, you know, so that's for Super 32, it's just one day weigh-ins and it's day before, right?
Yeah.
So, historically, there's a fair amount of weight cut by a lot of people at that tournament.
I would say the average is 20 pounds.
Right. Like, it's kids are big there.
Yeah, huge. There are, I mean, and it's funny if you're watching from home and, you know, like, my phone would be going, like, oh, my gosh, are you sure this kid's wrestling the right kid? It's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're all the same weight. They were all the same weight yesterday.
Yeah, day and a half ago, they weighed the same.
Yeah. Yes.
For at least 10 minutes.
Yes, for 10 minutes. Of the, then, like, so if you were in the first half of the tournament, you know, like, the first morning, 106 to 132, they wrestle at 9 to 130.
Right.
9 to 2. Well, then 138 to heavyweight, they wrestle from 2 to 8. Well, so if you happen to pay the extra money for early weigh-ins.
VIP weigh-ins.
VIP weigh-ins. What is this? It's like an extra $50, I'm sure. So if you do the VIP weigh-ins and then you're in that second group, you're not wrestling for a full 24 hours after you weigh in.
Right.
I mean, that can be a smidge of an advantage.
You know, that's, people talk about like UFC and stuff and how much weight they cut. And I'm like, well, yeah, but they're all day before weigh-ins. The rehydration process and the dehydration to make weight for a 1 or 2 hour weigh-in versus a 24 hour weigh-in are two totally different beasts, totally different. And in this situation, there were, like you say, roughly half of the kids there had that 24 hour weigh-in, or at least 20, right?
Well, yeah, it depends how many signed up for that VIP right. weigh-in.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, as a state, I think we had 25 kids there, right around that number. Yep. In high school division. They, you know, they did really well. I think there was 4 that lost in the blood round.
Yeah, that's a nice tournament for Minnesota.
Yeah, very nice. Very, very nice. This is a really strong senior class. And you know, we were missing some studs that were playing football. So
sure,
it's a great tournament.
Off the cuff, do you know, Josh, have they announced or talked about who would host the Dream Team this year? Has that been decided?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious. It's funny you say that.
Because this senior class would be a reasonable, and I don't know what all the other states have, right? Like Iowa, I know, has some tough kids. But this would be a reasonable class where Minnesota could host this event.
Oh, great class. You know, like, yeah, you're talking just those guys. The names that we just mentioned there, like Kaler, Hansen, Biskins, Bornholt, Novak. How about the names we didn't mention? Gavin Nelson, Max McAnally, Ryder Rogotsky.
Right.
What, the end of that lineup. Like,
yeah.
Ryder at 182, McAnally at 95,
Nelson at 220.
Yeah, that's
pretty solid.
I don't know if they have
I'm not sure when they announce that either. It feels like it's got to be fairly soon, but I don't know.
Usually it's a year in advance.
Right.
But then, you know, I kind of lost track of it during when we were supposed to host
right.
it, and COVID hit, and I don't know where that's at, but it would be a really, if it's not determined yet, I would say Minnesota has a really strong case for putting a team together.
Yeah, nice. And they did a nice job hosting the last time it was here, you know, as a state. So.
Yeah, really good job. I'm not sure.
We'll have to see if we can track that down for our next podcast.
Yeah.
See if that's been announced yet.
That's a great idea.
On the to-do list.
Okay. What do you got next, Al? Where are we going?
Well, let's... my brief notes here kind of jump around a bit. There was a ton of international age-level wrestling that went on, right, since we last got together. And Minnesota had some nice success at multiple levels. So let's just mention a little bit of that. So at U17s, we had Colhan Lindemeyer qualify for Greco, traveled all the way across the pond, and in true international style brackets, ended up getting beat in a close match, and his guy didn't make the finals, so he did not get to wrestle a second match, but he got his first international experience. Expect him to keep on doing good things and make some future teams. Also, U17, Max McAnally got third in that same tournament, in the freestyle division.
In freestyle, yeah.
Yep. In fact, I think when earlier you were playing a deal on your phone, Max is a stud running back, right? He's got to be. And did you say he's a four-year starter?
Four-year starter.
Back? That's, you know, it's one thing if you're a wrestler that starts for 4 years, you know, right? Maybe you're 113 pounds as a freshman and can wrestle and move up or whatever weight class you are. But to start for a high school football team as a freshman – you know, that's
in a pretty good sized school too.
Right.
You know, yeah, that is, I mean, pretty impressive.
So for U20s, we actually had two finalists for U20s. Bennett Berge took second. He had a giant comeback in the semis. I don't remember the exact score, but he was down at least 3, 4, 5 points in the semis and came back pretty late and poured it on, made the finals. And Jory Volk won the whole thing, man.
Yeah. That talk about one heck of a run there.
Oh, man.
Like, and watching those two guys bust out. You know, I don't remember much about the summer, but I do remember I was on a family camping trip with my mom and dad, sisters, and, you know, extended family. And we stopped what we were doing to watch their matches.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Like, it was, and so they had the Raymond family.
It's a pretty good wrestling crowd that you were with.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like you had to twist a whole bunch of arms to watch a few minutes of wrestling here and there, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun weekend for sure.
That was a nice run by those two young men.
Like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Up at U23s, a couple of Gophers wrestled in U23s. Michael Foy wrestled some 97 last year. And I actually heard there might be talk of him dropping to 84 this year, possibly, which I think is odd because he seems like a really big 97 to me. But anyway, he won a match. He wrestled U23 Greco and won a match. In freestyle, incoming Gopher Aaron Nagao got fifth. And he is one people are pretty excited about coming onto the scene here for the Gophers.
Yeah. The interesting piece about Nagao is he beat – remember who he beat in a championship of the trials?
Well, a guy he probably is going to practice with quite a bit, right? Didn't he beat Jake Gleyva?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's an interesting practice room dynamic.
Yeah.
You talk about having a solid partner.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jake's coming off an NCAA qualifier season, yeah. right? Like, he is not ready to give up a seat to anybody.
Right.
The guy was coming in after that big win and then a nice U23 tournament, you know. Yeah, that'll be some good practice room battles there, I'm sure.
Man.
And then up at the senior level, we had the guy that won his first Fargo title at 94 pounds, I think, Hayden Zilmer.
The Jack Pine Savage?
That's right. He actually went 2-1. His loss, I think, was to Gino Petrushvili, like a 3- or 4-time World Olympic champ, like just a name that is recognizable.
Very recognizable.
That was his only loss at the World Championships, and he actually had a fun series with many-time World Team member Nick Gwizdowski, right? Didn't Gwiz win the first match, and then Zilmer had to beat him 2 straight?
Yeah, I think both of them, he won like the last 45 seconds or something like that.
And Gwiz is a guy that, like say, he's wrestled a ton of senior level, and he is not easy to score on, certainly not scoring bunches. And Zilmer, I think he might have scored in that last match. He might have scored 5 points late.
Yeah, he scored. He was trailing 5-0 with less than a minute left.
Yeah.
And he got 2 takedowns and a step out. And one on criteria. In the match before that, he might have been trailing like 4-0.
Right.
Or 3-0.
3-0.
He got a couple takedowns and there was a caution in 1 or something.
Yeah.
And that... here's a really actually interesting. Now, this is a quote. This was a tweet his coach at the time, Dustin Schlater, put out there. He said, fun fact for this year, Hayden Zilmer had 9 come from behind wins. 7 of those were in the final 70 seconds.
Wow.
4 in the last 30 seconds. All last year.
That's crazy. And he's wrestling 125 as opposed to 94, right? Well, that was 94 pounds.
94 pounds,
and 125 people. Kilos.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big kid, man. He looks great, too. He's put on all sorts of good weight. He looks strong. Soup. Obviously, plenty of energy, right?
When
he's wearing down these giant guys and beating them at the end of the matches. That's pretty cool. Hayden's always been a fun guy to follow and a cool story. Also from Minnesota, a guy that a lot of people didn't even think he would make the world team, right? Because he had guys like Dayton Fix in front of him. Seth Gross made the world team and went and he made the semifinals at Worlds. So he was guaranteed to wrestle for a medal. And he ended up taking 5th, had a nice match in the semis against a guy that was just super good. But anyway, yeah, Seth Gross, right, from Apple Valley here, he had an awesome summer of wrestling too and ended up finishing 5th at the senior level. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, he's been doing it forever too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, gosh, he just been winning at a high level for a long time in international stuff.
He has. He's obviously national champ in folk style. He knows what he's doing on the mat there, but his freestyle skill set and technique, repertoire.
Yeah.
It's something that I think until guys have felt it once, it's hard to practice for.
It's got
to
cause problems.
He's fun to wallow. Yeah. It's got to be frustrating,
so
right?
So frustrating.
He doesn't mind you getting in on his legs.
No, he doesn't.
For what it's worth, no ties to Minnesota necessarily, but this summer, Jordan Burroughs won his 7th. World or Olympic title, which makes him the winningest wrestler at the international level in USA history.
The man is ageless. I mean, I don't get it.
And he's done it the last, I don't know, six, seven years, starting a family. He's got like 4 kids now. Like he's not just training full. He's training full time, but that's not all he does. Like he's a great dad and husband, and he's got a lot going on. He's a cool dude. Anyway, so...
You know, I'm glad you bring him up because it's Jordan Burroughs. It's worth talking about.
It is.
But it really makes me think about the time we went down to Nebraska for the Gopher-Husker duel.
We showed up right about 125 pounds because we got a late start to that duel, didn't we? Have a little diesel gelling
problem.
It was
like 30 below.
It was cold. It was
freezing.
Cold.
So we had a diesel issue, but... When we got, yeah, we made it just in
time. We got there.
Well, I don't know if you remember, the next day we went to visit Taylor and go check out the wrestling room, and we walked around the wrestling room and the locker room a little bit, and JB was coming in for a workout.
Yep.
And he was on one of the Aerodyne bikes, kind of getting warmed up. And I'm telling you, my wife, Jillian, she should, if she doesn't regret this opportunity, she should. Because he was on that Aerodyne bike, and he was just kind of pedaling nice and slow, and he'd been doing it for a while, like 5 minutes. And I was like, well, this is a six-time world champion. I thought his warm-up would be a little more intense than this. And I'm like, Jillian, you got to go jump on the Aerodyne bike next to him.
I remember.
And just start giving her. Just pedal as fast and as hard as you can for as long as you can. I don't care if it's only 30 seconds. I'm going to record it. And then when you get done, be like, well, I thought you were a six-time world champ.
That would have been priceless.
She wouldn't do it. You know, she was too soft.
Have you done 30 seconds super hard on an Aerodyne? It's harder than it sounds.
When you say, have I?
Yes.
I've seen it done.
Right? Quite as hard. Sometimes jump on one and get like a 10 or 15 second sprint for an old guy like me, and you're starting to get up there.
Yeah.
It's not super easy. 30 seconds is quite a jaunt.
I mean, I just needed her to do it long enough for me to record it.
Right. We could have played a 3 second clip over and over and over. It would have been awesome. I'll tell you this. It would have been 3 seconds at most, because even though it was some nice woman from Minnesota that he didn't know sitting next to him, I don't think JB would have taken that for long before he stepped it up. Like, he is as nice of a guy as you'll ever meet, and more competitive than most people you've met put together.
Oh, I believe it. Totally believe it.
Oh, man, I remember that.
What an awesome ambassador for the sport, too.
Yeah, yep.
Such a good guy.
All right, so I'm going to be honest, Josh, I don't think we missed anybody. I hope we didn't. I think we hit all the Minnesota connections there, or immediate connections for the international style stuff. What about Fargo, right? Let's talk just a little bit of Fargo. That's a gigantic tournament every year. Both freestyle and Greco, there's 16 U and juniors. That's the old cadet and juniors. And then you've got the women's division too.
Yeah. I was there for the freestyle. I had to leave for Greco because I had to go to went to one of my daughter's softball tournaments. So.
Oh, it's a full week event.
Oh my gosh. And to be honest, being there, it was a blur.
Right.
Like, there was so much wrestling going on that
it's sometime we could probably just ask Jason Bryant, but the number of matches wrestled in a week there is ridiculous, because it's a giant place with a million mats and they wrestle almost nonstop. For the medals, they slow down for the medals, right, and showcase those, but there's just a ton of matches. So I think I've got the Minnesota Placers here. We'll just rattle them off quick and give a quick shout out to people. This is another one of those tournaments, super tough, right?
Oh my gosh.
Any style, any age. The 16U women's had 5 place winners. Callie Graber got 3rd, Aspen Blasco got 5th, Audrey Ragazzi got 6th, and both Skylar Little Soldier and Ella Pago won it. So 2 champs for Minnesota there. That's nice. Did you see, were you there for Ella Pago at all? I saw mostly clips and on. I wasn't there at all. But every time I saw her wrestle, I was glad I was not a girl that weighed 164 pounds, because she put some hurt on people.
Oh, man, she is physical. you're going to want to stay out of her way, Al. That's another match. Like, we won't be setting up an exhibition anytime.
We will not.
But if it happens, you might want to pass on that one.
I will pass. So 16U men's, we had a bunch of placers. Had Trey Beisel got 8th, Titan Frederick 6th, Landon Robidoux 2nd, Tyson Termoli 2nd, Alex Braun 7th, Aiden Carlson 8th, Bryce Burkett made the finals, got 2nd, and Cito Tuttle got 4th. So that's quite a few place winners.
Yeah, wow, that's a nice age group there.
Yeah, several of those names you mentioned from Super 32 had nice tournaments there. Might hear him again later. 16U also, they wrestle Greco there, obviously. In Greco, Lawson Eller got 5th. Chase Mills got 8th. Alex Braun made the finals, placed 2nd, placed in both styles. Jaden Howder got eighth. Bryce Burkett won it. So he made the finals double in both finals? Styles.
Okay. Yep,
double finalist, won it in Greco. And Cito Tuttle placed sixth, so he was a double placer as well. So nice age group there.
Yeah, wow.
Jumping over to freestyle. Well, we'll go up to juniors, right? So junior Greco, Alan Kaler got third. Eli Paulson, wide receiver extraordinaire.
Yeah, leads the state in receiving yards. And yeah, just absolutely wild season that he's having, coming out of the slot for the Anoka Tornadoes.
And did you say they might even, their starting quarterback might be injured, So the team is, I don't think the team is setting many records as a team. And they're maybe down a couple of people injuries, but they still find a way to throw the ball all over the field, and Eli's just raking them all in.
The last I saw, he had like 30 more receptions than the second guy.
Right? That's crazy.
Yeah, he's got like 90 receptions, give or take. And that was maybe after, I think that was after the football game. That was, because when his dad was coaching at Super 32.
Right.
While Eli was playing a football game back home, so he was watching, watching the stream, and yeah, he had I think he had four touchdowns that game.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It's crazy.
You're away at work, and you're watching your kid play a football game on a stream, and he has three receiving touchdowns, and one was a rushing touchdown. It was a four touchdown game.
Oh, Eli. And I saw a couple of clips of him a clip of him like dancing and stuff, like just having a ball.
Oh yeah. My understanding is he just loves the sport of football. He
loves to compete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very athletic. I'm assuming he gets that from Shelley.
Has to. He placed sixth in Greco. Zach Hansen got seventh. Ryder Rogatsky got second. And Anthony Tuttle got fifth. So pretty nice results there. Got five or six place winners in Greco. And then jumping over to freestyle, had a whole bunch of placers.
Let's hear them.
Michael Olson got fourth. Brandon Morvari got sixth. Alan Kaler, double placer, got third. Zach Hansen got third. Jed Wester got fifth. Ryder Rogatsky got fourth. Kale Winia, sixth. And Eli Novak, eighth.
That's a nice tournament. And Novak, he is a huge guy, man.
Oh, he's a big, big kid, man.
Did he go to St. Cloud State? I think I saw that. I think I remember that. I think
he may have.
Yeah, I feel like that's right. He's got to be pushing all of 270. He's a huge heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, he's a full size.
He was fun. I got the chance to watch him at Junior Duels. Oddly enough, I was at Junior Duels too, Al.
Surprise, surprise.
I feel like we could have had a podcast after that or a podcast after Fargo. But I think I went from Junior Duels to a softball tournament also, so.
Yeah, you were busy watching some ball this summer.
Yeah,
softball and baseball.
We would have had to do it remotely, and that's not.
We tried that once, right? Didn't we do that from a car or something? I called you while I was driving, and we did a
couple
a
times
Zoom or some sort of.
Yeah,
it's not for us.
No.
Yeah, so that's eight guys placing at junior freestyle. That's another nice number. So. Had a really nice year at Fargo, all age levels and styles. Bunches of kids had great tournaments that didn't quite place, as happens every year. But, yeah, quite a few place winners. That's nice.
Okay. What's next? That's our my notes are usually blank, so.
Right. Throw out topics you talk about.
That's our Fargo rundown.
Yeah, and Fargo is one of those deals. If we were doing podcasts on a regular basis in the summer, we could do a full hour and a half, 2 hours on Fargo alone.
And we really should.
Right.
I mean, and same thing with junior duels or cadet duels or schoolboy duels.
So speaking of that, age level duels, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about age level duels. How about
let's start with junior duels
because junior duels
that's where I was. I was there in attendance, and I got a little. It wasn't as much fun for me as it normally would be because Iowa won both styles.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was hard for me to stomach. If they only win one, okay, I can live with that. But I mean, and really, when they won Greco, that one hurt.
Yeah.
Like, and they got no right.
We took second in Greco, right? Minnesota did, and it came down to. I mean, it was a very close duel.
Yeah, came down to the end.
Did that start out? Did someone get hurt early in that duel, or DQ'd or something? Like there was,
you know, I actually think, what happened? I think Travis Smith got hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, you're testing my memory here. If he got hurt in that duel or the duel before, and that was a huge difference maker. Travis
right.
Smith from Simley, he. I think he got hurt.
Yeah,
because
that's
5
points, right? If he's hurt and defaults out, that's a 5-point win. And Travis, you know, against anybody is dangerous, right? But he's, I don't know, it feels like that's at least a 2-point loss, you know, team score wise.
Yeah.
3 points versus 5, if not a much bigger loss, because he wins more than he loses.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact situation, but I vaguely remember him not being in the match for that championship duel. And
I remember he got hurt, and I don't remember either if that was in the semis or the finals. I almost wonder if it wasn't the finals.
It could have been.
I think it was.
It could have been. It was, and it's because he's not a kid who typically gets hurt either.
No.
So, and it was kind of like a fluky hamstring thing. He was like in maybe like a hip toss position.
I could believe that.
Yeah, that, right. He was in a hip toss position, I think, and it got kind of awkward, and then, like, he strained his hamstring. So, like, if you're wondering why, that was, you know, one of the reasons, or that is the reason why we didn't see Trav at Fargo.
Sure.
Because he wasn't back from that yet. I know he wasn't. I talked to his dad. It's all coming back to me. So, yeah, that was a game changer in that duel, for sure.
Right.
But, yeah, they, you know...
They made the gold pool in freestyle too, right? Got seventh?
Yes. Yep. And just, but you know, by day two, they were pretty beat up.
Oh.
And, you know, to defend the kids a little bit, you know, they were missing some of their teammates because...
They were wrestling overseas?
Yeah.
Or preparing to?
They made world teams.
Right.
So, you know, that slowed them down a little bit. That, you know, took away some of their firepower. But as always, you know, fun tournament. And I would recommend anyone, like, if your kid makes one on age level dual teams...
Oh, any age level dual team, go do it. It's a blast.
Yeah, if you can get the time off work, it they're always fun. The how about cadets? How do we do it at the cadet level?
So cadets would be 16U.
Oh
right?
Yeah, sorry, 16U.
That's what they call it now.
Yeah.
Had a really nice weekend for the cadets in Greco. They got third, including a 55-20 stomping over Oklahoma in that third place duel. And
I always like to hear that.
Yeah, because Oklahoma's always tough. And where are cadet duels at?
Gosh, are they in Indianapolis?
They might
that
be.
Way?
They might be. And I don't know what Oklahoma does for that. I know for junior duels, Oklahoma in the old days was famous for bringing in almost, you know, not a whole new squad, but about a third to a half of their squad didn't wrestle both styles.
See,
they got a bunch of tough kids, but they had a bunch of kids that were pretty fresh, too.
Oklahoma doesn't do that. They actually bring in their team, and they go after. They do it very similar to Minnesota.
Okay.
But, like, Ohio, on the other hand, the guys that beat Minnesota 2 years ago in 16U, their freestyle team, they showed up for freestyle. They were not there for Greco. They didn't have the extra... weigh-ins, they didn't have the extra 11 matches.
Right.
You know, they're against the toughest kids in the country. Yeah, they, I mean, if you ask me, I say they took the easy way out.
I would agree. That same age group, the freestyle team took second in the bronze copper pool. So that's like 10th overall, right?
Okay.
Which is still a very high finish. And Minnesota's other team, their second team, if you want to call it that, took sixth in the red-blue pool. That second team took fourth in the red-blue pool in Greco. So they had two teams at both of those. They usually take two teams. Both did well. That first team, had a really good weekend. How about 14U girls, Josh? Were you at this event? Did Charlie wrestle in that one?
You're doing this to me on purpose right now.
I think.
Like, you're doing this because you know that. I think that was at Tulsa, right? It's the same. I was there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just.
Right.
Yeah, Charlie wrestled in this.
And they took fifth, right?
If it's the same event, yes.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
It was the same weekend, the same location.
Yeah,
so
it was freaking awesome. I got to watch two kids wrestle at the same time. But if I had to tell you what place they took...
Well, there's a lot going on.
Well, and I think it was... Was it on Flow? If the brackets were on Flow, I don't even look at them.
How can you?
Yeah.
What good does it do you?
Like, it doesn't make any sense. If you guys own track wrestling... Do all the video on Flow, fine, but put the damn brackets on track so I can at least look at them.
Right.
And so I think what happened when I was down there, you know, I probably stayed up too late the first night. I was overtired the next day and didn't have the patience to open up my phone.
Well, there's so much going on, it's pretty easy just to watch wrestling.
Yeah, and that's,
you know, and
yeah, like, I mean, I literally just...
So you remember if there's a, you know, if they're in the championship duel, you remember that. If they don't win a duel, you remember that. But, you know, if they're winning some, losing some, wrestling really good, like, it's hard to keep track. Did they finish third or seventh or fifth or whatever? But the results say fifth. So okay. Nice finish for the 14U girls.
So, and a shout out to the girls team. They had a 14U team down there, and then they had the next age level up, which would have been like what I'd call juniors.
Juniors, yep.
And they wrestled like the first couple days.
Yep.
And the 14U girls wrestled the last couple days.
Okay.
So the younger kids sat and watched the older kids and kind of cheered them on and were mat side. And then vice versa. When you know, the 14U kids were wrestling, the older girls were sitting there watching and cheering them on. It's a pretty cool experience, I think, for both age levels.
Nice. And that junior level team, they actually won the red blue pool. So maybe a little bit of a rough first day, but came back and wrestled awesome the second day. That's a fun way to finish, you know, finish your tournament, winning all your matches on day two.
Yeah, and I think both teams performed pretty well, but were maybe open at a weight or two.
I can believe that.
You know, hampered them just a smidge, because otherwise I think they both would have done just a little bit better if they just had a hard time rounding out that lineup, I think.
It's hard.
Oh, man.
It's hard. You know, and let's be fair, Minnesota's a little bit behind compared to the rest of the country. You know, we feel like we're doing a good job supporting girls wrestling here in Minnesota, and we are doing a decent job and getting better. And that extra Minnesota State tournament we had before MSHSL sanctioned girls wrestling was a great thing to have. But... you know, we're playing a little bit of catch up right now. So we have a bunch of good girls that are wrestling. We just got to keep growing the numbers. And I think over the next couple of years, we're going to see that.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what the high school numbers are, what the high school participation numbers are like this year. You know, just see if, I'm sure they'll have grown, but see how much they've grown from last year.
Right.
Okay, what about schoolboys? I got to believe that team probably did pretty well. I think... it seems like was kind of a loaded roster.
Yeah. So they got seventh in freestyle.
Okay.
And they got, actually the two teams got first and sixth in the bronze copper pool in Greco, which is that second, you know, second tier. They have the gold pool and then the bronze copper and a red blue and maybe another, you know, depending on how many teams, there's like three or four different pools the second day. And both Minnesota teams and Greco made that second tier team, meaning they finished third or fourth the first day in their brackets, and they finished first and sixth in that bracket. So, nice tournament there for the 14U guys.
Yeah, that's a great tournament.
That's all I had written down for results for age level duels.
Well. Like we mentioned this earlier, if we missed anyone, sorry.
Right.
It's been a while since we've done this. And if you know either one of us...
if you know us, you will not be shocked that we missed something if we did. I'm just happy we're back in studio talking. You know, man, it's been... my ears are just getting tired of hearing, hey, when's the next podcast? You know, and when you've done one in the last 3-4 weeks, you know, I don't feel too bad. I'm like, yeah, we're working on it. We're going to get together. But... when it's been 7 months, it, you know, man, it's just embarrassing to not be able to even answer. So I'm just glad we're back.
Yes. Yeah, Joe LaRose, you could stop harassing me. Stop giving me a hard time. We're back. This one's on you, LaRose.
Oh, hey, did you see the St. Peter fundraiser they did this year for their wrestling team?
Al, you
for
know
their club.
You know damn well I saw their fundraiser.
Now, how awesome is that?
Yeah, St. Peter Wrestling. I'm tipping my hat to you right now because
ditto.
You guys probably are not aware of this, but Al and myself are both Demolition Derby guys, and their wrestling team built a derby car, and they raffle it off at their county fair, right?
Yeah, and they raised, like, I believe, like $4,000 for their youth club. And they've been doing this for 7 or 8 years.
That's impressive because that's a fundraiser. First of all, there's some fundraisers I can get behind. Like if you're selling Heggie's pizzas,
right?
It's easy for me to buy them.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get eaten at my house.
I've never thrown away a Heggie's.
Never thrown away a Heggie's. If you're building a derby car and I got a chance to drive it, I'm buying a raffle ticket for that derby car.
I'm in. Because
I know how much work it takes to build one.
And, you know, so they sent us a picture, right? And we saw that. And it was from, I don't know, 20, 30 feet away or whatever. It wasn't like a full video walkthrough, but it looked like a built car. Like it wasn't just, you know, some piece of junk that they knocked the windows out and called it good and raffled it off. These guys know what they're doing, I think.
Was it a square body Crown Vic?
It's what it looked like.
Okay, so it'd be like a 1979 to 91
right?
Ford Crown Vic. For those of you that are wondering what a square body Crown Vic is. But probably a chain and go car, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I think over that way is like Brandon Thomas, like Top Notch Motorsports as the promoter, maybe.
I could believe that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, like that. I mean, that's impressive I'm assuming the wrestlers are building the thing.
Yeah.
Or they're helping. I mean, that's a lot of freaking work.
It is. It is. You know that well.
Too well.
Oh, man. So huge shout out to St. Peter. I mean, any fundraiser, like you say, good for them. It's fun. But you build a derby car and raffle it off, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Next year, I might have to make my way to that county
fair. I was just going
to
say, maybe we need St. Peter's Wrestling Twitter to give us a quick DM next year, a few weeks in advance, and see if our calendar's open.
Yeah.
We'll make our way over there.
That'd be cool. I'd like to take a closer look at the car and just see the...
Exactly.
Take a look at the build.
Right.
You know, and yeah, just...
Who knows what kind of rule set they have over there? What kind of, you know... Yeah. Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're friends with the techs. I've seen raffle cars get through that are built just a little stronger. I've seen raffle cars get through that are just cobbled together.
Oh, yeah, that's usually what they are. Like, are you? I don't know if I'm going to drive this one.
Right. Can I just take the $50 buyout?
Yeah,
because this thing doesn't look safe. But no, that's awesome. Love that fundraiser.
Yeah.
Anybody who thinks they have a cooler fundraiser probably has to also involve demo or something equally as cool. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
We'll be happy to talk about it. But right now, they're number one on the list for the coolest fundraiser in Minnesota for youth wrestling.
Without question.
Oh, man. Hey, P&L.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit of P&L, Josh. I know you got to go and take part, well, or witness P&L in its inaugural year. What is P&L? First, for the folks listening that don't know what it is, just give us the quick overview of here's what P&L is.
Well, I'm going to start with saying that, like, if you want a detailed description, Jason Bryant hosts a podcast with Jared Lawrence where they kind of go into detail on what P&L is and how it came about. And I strongly recommend giving it a listen.
Absolutely.
Because it's really informative and, you know, anything Jason Bryant does is... It's pretty darn good.
It's always going to be professional.
Yeah, it's always going to be professional and entertaining. But so what P&L is, we'll kind of give you the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
Is the Premier National League. And it's really kind of the brainchild of Jared Lawrence from Pinnacle Wrestling School and Jody Stripmatter from Young Guns out of like the Pittsburgh area.
Yep.
A couple years ago, they were sitting together at a wrestling camp, and they like to train. They like to have their two clubs train together. They get along really well. The kids get along really well, and they work well together. And they like competing against each other, but it's tricky because they're 16 hours apart.
Right.
So they came up with this idea for this Premier National League where they're basically going to have, you know, 8 clubs from around the country that are going to find a way to get together and compete, you know, a few times a year. And then they're going to, you know, they really want to host like a high level tournament where you're going and you're getting the best competition possible for your skill set, and you know, with the highest quality officiating, like the best tournament experience. You know, you're not going to have, you know, some crazy coach running out onto the mat with cowboy boots on yelling, you know, at anybody.
Yeah, right.
This is not happening at the event I was at.
So I'm going to jump in here and ask you questions as we're going. So, eight clubs, we know Young Guns and Pinnacle are part of it.
Yep.
Who are a couple of the other clubs, just names that people might recognize?
Or
guys who coach at these clubs?
So, like Askren Wrestling Academy, Ben Askren's club. Daniel Cormier's club out of DC, what is it, DC Elite?
Yep.
His wrestling club out of California. David Taylor's wrestling club out of, you know, Central Pennsylvania.
Got it.
You know,
so those kinds of clubs, right? So it's clubs like Pinnacle and Young Guns that everybody's heard of. A lot of people have heard of M2, David Taylor's, but also, you know, Askren and DC. And so some pretty high level.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the kids there, they mean, like, there's some very, very legit kids and coaches.
Yeah. You know, so you mentioned against kids at the right caliber, right? So when they go into this, do they actually have two or three different, I don't know if tiers is the right term, but like two or three different brackets at the same weight class?
Yeah, yep.
So like your national Fargo type kids and Super 32 place winner type kids might be in one bracket together. And maybe the guys who are really good wrestlers but not quite at that level would be in a different bracket.
Exactly. It's very, very similar to the journeyman.
Yeah.
The way the journeyman is ran, they got, like, I think they call it an A bracket and a B bracket. And basically you got, you know, you a six-man round robin.
Yep.
And every match is 6 minutes.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was. There's some of the kids that they had to drag themselves off the matches, off the mat, come the end of the match, towards the end of the tournament. But I will tell you this much, Al. After watching those kids at the P&L, I mean, got to be a long day because they ended up being two mats short of what they wanted.
Right.
I mean, the tournament still flowed, you know, very smoothly. And,
yeah.
You know, it was easy to watch some awesome wrestling, but at the end of the day, those kids were tired.
Oh, sure.
Well, I got a chance to watch a lot of those kids at Super 32 also.
Right.
And not just the Minnesota kids, you know, kids from the Pennsylvania kids and, the, you know, Nebraska had a team there and the California kids. They were not nearly as tired at Super 32 as a lot of the kids they were wrestling.
Nice.
I have to believe that P&L tournament was a nice primer for that Super 32 event.
Yeah, that's great. I love the idea, too, of you know, guaranteed number of matches.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to travel 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 hours, you know, it's nice to know I'm going to get this many matches, 6, 8 matches, whatever it is, of good quality opponents, good officials, all this stuff, right? But I'm going to get this many matches. It's not like, well, I'm running a risk of taking a weekend and traveling, you know, 14 hours to a tournament where I might go 0-2 or some sort of international goofy bracket 0-1, right?
Yeah.
And be done. So you know that it's worth going and you're going to get your matches in, and I like it.
Oh, I was from a crazy wrestling dad or wrestling fan perspective, you couldn't beat it. And Izzy Martinez from Izzy Style Wrestling, he was one of the first eight, and he hosted the event.
Nice.
He hosted the inaugural event, and he went all out. He did everything he could to.
So he's Chicago area, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And that's where it was. It was at Aurora Christian.
Yeah.
High School, and to just kind of give you an idea of how smooth he wanted the event to go, that he actually recruited officials from the state of Minnesota.
Nice.
To come out there and ref, because, you know, he had a handful of good officials, but
yep.
he wanted more.
The best of the best.
Yeah, and believe it or not, he got, four guys from Minnesota to go down there and ref. And like there was literally, I wasn't in the gym the whole time because I had some other stuff going on, but I was there a lot of it. I did not see one argument with, from a, or even one, like, one even like questionable call where the coach was like, you know, through, was like, what's going on between the coach and the ref?
Yeah, between having high level refs and coaches who understand what they're doing there, not just crazy dads and moms in the corner, right? Like,
yeah,
that makes a big difference. And I got to think it makes it easier in the officials too, knowing that I'm not going to have someone chirping in my ear the whole time about every call. You know, they just go out there and do their thing, right? They know they're high-level kids, high-level matches. The refs are out there reffing and doing a good job, and it kind of feeds off each other, right? Because if the coaches are complaining, then the refs start getting defensive, then they start in the back of their head, they're human. So I love the idea of high-level coaches and high-level refs just letting it flow and not bickering the whole time.
Yeah, they were, I mean, state tournament officials, and, you know, and then not to mention there was – I don't know, there were 30 to 40 college wrestling coaches there.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, there was a really impressive number of coaches there watching. And this year, I know I said there's 8 clubs. They, you know, they plan on expanding to 16 next year.
Yep.
24 the year after that and 32 the year after that.
Wow, that's going to get big.
Yeah, and it should be interesting to watch it grow because...
So this first year they had this tournament, and this was all high school, or was it high school and middle school? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was high school and middle school.
Right. So this first one was high school and middle school.
And girls
in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe there's 2 more scheduled for this first year, right?
Yeah, there's one in the wintertime.
Is that out in Arizona?
Yeah. Yes, it's at Eric Larkin's Valiant Prep. Oh, did he, you know, he'll be hosting the winter one.
Well, now that didn't make sense with high schoolers, right? So what age group is there?
So that is going to be a middle school. That's going to be, yeah, I think it's fifth grade.
Just middle school?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe elementary.
Okay.
But I thought they said it was fifth grade through high school.
Got it.
You know, they're the league.
Yep.
But maybe it's a little bit younger, but it wouldn't be much younger than
right.
that. I don't think, you know, like.
So we'll call it roughly middle school
yeah.
Age, and there maybe is a. Well, different states, some are 6th through 8th, some are 7th and 8th. But anyway, that roughly that age level for that second event in Arizona.
Yes.
And then there's a third one scheduled.
Yeah, there's a third one that's scheduled. That's going to be in Pennsylvania in the spring. And I believe that's going to be a freestyle and Greco event.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know where they're going to get Greco refs in Pennsylvania. We'll probably have to bring a bunch of them with.
Do they wrestle Greco in Pennsylvania?
I don't know if they do there, so... definitely be freestyle.
Yep.
But yeah, so that would be, you know, I'm not sure. I think that's probably going to be more on the western side of the state.
Sure.
I don't know if they got the location locked down for that yet.
Right.
But
so first year, 8 clubs all over the country from California to Pennsylvania, 3 events, high school, with a couple other ages for this first one before the high school season starts. Be a middle school type age in the middle of the winter sometime, and then next spring a freestyle one back to high school.
Yeah,
freestyle Greco.
Yep, that kind of middle school, high school age in the spring.
Yeah,
I think that one in the wintertime, that might be right around the Christmas tournament.
Okay,
that is, I believe, you know, and I'm not really sure what Valiant Prep's
sure.
competition rules are during the season, but I'm sure that's no issue.
Yeah, I don't, for that. Well. Arizona, they don't allow middle schoolers to wrestle in high school, right?
No.
So probably a lot looser rules as far as middle school events.
Yeah, probably work out perfect for them to host. And
yeah.
The idea of a tournament being in Arizona in the wintertime is
Arizona
nice.
Versus Pennsylvania or Minnesota, good choice, or Illinois, good choice there on the scheduling
yes.
for the locations.
Yeah, very good choice. Well, yeah, it should be fun to watch that thing grow and take off, you know. Because it has some seriously good wrestling.
Yeah.
It is. And
yeah, I'm excited. I was maybe going to jump in the bus and tag along. It just didn't work out this year. But I'm looking forward to hopefully, I will not be in the Arizona one.
No.
That one doesn't work for me. And I guess we'll have to see when the PA one is and what the travel is, if there's a bus involved or not. But anyhow, I'm looking forward to following that.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we get Jared or even Strip Matter or somebody. We'd have to do it via the phone with Strip Matter, but maybe we'll try to get one of these other coaches involved too, and get a little clip interview clip on their take on this first year of the PNL.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I we could We could easily line that up.
I know you've got a couple of contacts there. We could work that out.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, so stay tuned for more P&L stuff as we go forward. What about a little, Al, should we roll into some high school stuff?
Yeah.
We're getting close to the season.
Yeah, absolutely, we should.
We're at like October 26th, 27th, somewhere in there. Usually, let's see, what do we got coming up here? So before we start talking high school, we should touch on middle school duels just a little bit. I don't know when the date of it is, but it's usually in the next couple weeks, I think. And so for wrestling fans, that's always a good indicator of up-and-comers to watch, you know, on the Minnesota high school wrestling scene. Like, you
absolutely.
Know, some of them lighter weights, and, you know, there's some tough kids that will go out there and wrestle and compete. I know in the past, like, Minnesota's usually had a couple, you know, two or three teams out there competing.
Right.
So, you know, that'll give us an idea who some of the starters, you know, maybe 106, 113-pounders will be, and then, you know, even some bigger kids, like, going out there and wrestling. Well, I think the last couple of years, David Thorne's brought a team out there.
Sure.
They've done really well.
Yeah, maybe just a little shout out to anybody who's doing rankings in high school, right? With the unenviable job of trying to figure out 106 preseason rankings, yeah. Right? When a lot of those kids have not wrestled any or much high school. Maybe just poke your eyes out and see who's at those middle school duels and how they go. And maybe that's a little info for those guys to see who's ready to wrestle this year.
Yeah, that's always a good gauge point. The National Middle School Duels, and they were in Toledo the last couple of years, and they're in Ohio still somewhere. I'm sure they're right around the Toledo area. Maybe COVID messed that up a little bit, but they're probably right back in Toledo. But as you mentioned, rankings, you know, and the thankless job that the rankers have, that makes me think of, you know, as we get going here and the season gets going and we see them rankings, and, you know, we'll plan on getting in studio a little bit more frequently than we have the last 7 months.
Well, yeah, if we do it, if our next one is before May next year, then we'll be accelerating. So I think we're going to head in the right direction.
Okay. Well, as we start heading down the high school season, there's some teams out there that got a little bit of a new look this year. And one of them that's going to look a lot different is Eden Prairie.
You know, I was at, I'm trying to remember where it was. It might have been at, like, the Augsburg has a beanbag tournament during their football homecoming weekend or whatever. And I kind of overheard a conversation with some folks, and they said they were going to move. They were actually going to wrestle for Eden Prairie this year. And they said, well, yeah, us and about six other guys. It sounded like quite a crew. Quite a bit of some new faces there.
Well, they got a new head coach.
Yep.
Mark Sylvester is their new head coach. And I think, you know, a lot of these kids, they know Marcus really well. They've wrestled for him, you know, back in the youth days.
Right.
And, it, it's really worth mentioning that these wrestlers, you know, we can go through the names here. Aiden Mincy, you know, I think he was at Stillwater last year. Zytavius Williams. He was a state tournament wrestler for Minneapolis Edison last year. Teray Dunn, he used to be at Eden Prairie, but his dad got a job out in Nevada.
Yeah, right. He was gone, right?
Gone, yeah. Really athletic, really talented kid. Well, he was a state runner-up last year in Nevada. Now his dad got a job back here in Minnesota, and he's back in Eden Prairie. Then there's Charles Veneer, who took third at state last year at 106 pounds AA, and his brother Keno Veneer, who was a qualifier, I think, at 113.
Okay.
They're both for Richfield. And then they have the Heim brothers that moved in from Wayzata.
From Wayzata?
Yeah. And I think that was – Dominic Heim took fourth last year at 220 maybe. But I think the Heim's move was really motivated by football.
Okay.
And I know Wayzata's not bad at football.
Right.
So that sounds funny for me to say that. But I think I remember hearing that somewhere that there's – believe it or not, that's a football move.
Sure.
And actually, a lot of those kids I just named off, like Zytavius, Teray, Charles, and Keno, you know, they grew up wrestling together. They started out wrestling together with like Will Sather.
Sure.
In the Richfield wrestling room. You know, you remember when we used to duel them guys? The youth duels, like the Richfield Rampage, they were called.
Right.
I mean, they were a tough little team.
They really were.
So those, it's funny, those kids, they all started out together back in the day. And then, you know, as you know, life kind of happened. They kind of went their separate ways a little bit.
Yep.
And they, all along, for the most part, they wrestled for the same club. You know, sure. They went to JJ Trained, which I don't believe is around anymore. Or maybe they've rebranded, but they were still wrestling together, even though they weren't under the Richfield umbrella.
Yep.
And like Jafari Veneer, he helped coach him. You know, he's coached all these kids. You know, him and I think Marcus coached together.
Yep.
And somehow, you know, some way just kind of worked out for them. They're all back together again.
Nice.
And that should make for an interesting section tournament.
Right?
You know, that is, yeah. And I'm sure there's others out there in the state that, you know, like if I did any homework at all. I know like one other one off the top of my head is Noah Torgerson.
Yep.
He took fifth last year at like maybe 170 pounds for Anoka. He's actually, his family relocated to St. Michael, Albertville. So he helped firm up that lineup, which wasn't very weak to begin with.
Right.
But, you know, I think you will see Noah find a spot in that lineup for the Knights of St. Michael, Albertville. And I'm sure there's more and, you know, we can actually probably talk about that in our next episode.
Sure.
That's kind of a lot of discussion right now in the high school.
Yeah. Circles. A year or two ago, you know, we kind of started, broaching the topic of transfers or new faces or whatever it may be for different reasons. And so we're never afraid to touch on it. But like you say, we didn't have a lot of info outside of, you know, mostly this one big group that kind of came back together at Eden Prairie. So we'll maybe keep our ears open and see if we have any other interesting changes before our next episode.
I'm sure we'll hear. And you know, if there are others out there, thanks for, you know, in advance for letting us know. We appreciate the feedback.
Exactly.
Another interesting thing that I think would be worth marking down on your calendars is Friday, January 20th, Al.
Okay.
The defending Class A state champs, Jackson County Central, is going to be hosting a quad in their gym.
Okay.
And they invited St. Michael Albertville, the defending AAA champs.
Nice.
Simley, nice. Spartans, you know, team I'm very near and dear to my heart, the defending Class A champs.
So wait a minute. So Class A, AA, and AAA champs, yes. All back. All in this quad. What other Minnesota team could you possibly find to fill this quad out, Josh?
Yeah, I'm not happy about this, but actually it's cool. I shouldn't say I'm not happy about it. They recruited, they tricked the Green Devils. Now,
Osage, Iowa.
Somehow they fooled them into coming up for this event.
Suckers.
I think Osage took second or third last year in their state tournament.
They've got a long history of being a wrestling town. And it's funny because if I do take a gander at their lineup, like at least a third of them are names of kids, you know, are family names that I recognize from when I was growing up down there. We were in the same conference as them. And you know, apparently a lot of the Green Devils are sticking around home because I see those same names over and over. But, you know, I'm sure they're good, right? They wouldn't travel all the way up here to wrestle any one of those teams if they weren't good. However, I'm not going to pick them to go undefeated at this quad, Josh.
Oh, no, I am not either. Like, that is, I mean, that's
kudos
awesome.
To them kudos for, to them for signing like, up for it, right?
Yeah. Like, there's a... I mean, that should be a wild quad. And I don't know the details other than it's Friday, January 20th right now.
Okay.
And we'll get them for sure. But I fully expect there to be some type of stream available.
I was just going to say, maybe you need to do a little legwork there and see what's going to be available for streaming and if they could use any play-by-play or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be fun to get involved with that because it would be a great excuse for me to go watch it.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, if I don't have anything going on, maybe I go watch it anyway.
That would
be, and
for anyone that's in the area, I mean, like if you're in Southwest Minnesota.
Hey, how many times, Josh, have you had people say, you know what you need to do is have another tournament after the state tournament, have all the single versus double versus triple A teams and guys and get together and wrestle.
Too many times a count.
Way too many times. And nobody wants to do it, right?
Right.
The week after the state tournament, guys are done wrestling. Yeah. They are not coming back for another weekend of wrestling and making weight and everything else. But we get to see the Class A, AA, and AAA champs along with the school from Iowa come up here to wrestle on that Friday night. It's a can't miss.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not just thinking about it real quickly. I Simley graduated two guys. So I think they'll be strong again. St. Michael Albertville, I don't believe they graduated too many.
Right.
They're going to be good again. JCC graduated a few, but they're going to be good again.
They're hosting it. Yeah, they're not inviting those teams to town to take three lumps.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever happens, team score, but they're going to have a strong team to even entertain hosting a quad like that.
So if you're in the southwestern part of the state, I strongly recommend coming to watch it. If you got nothing going on, I strongly recommend coming to watch it, or just have a good old-fashioned watch party, and we'll figure out how or when how they're streaming it and how you can watch it from the comfort of your living room.
Yeah, they've got to stream that.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's they have to. That is about all I have as of right now. We should talk a little bit about our sponsor, our ref program.
Well, you talked about changes at the high school level. Josh, any other significant changes, wrestling, coaching, or otherwise in the state?
Oh, it's funny you say that. Yes, there are. Now, it's interesting, you know, with Marcus Levesser taking over at, you set me up for this one, I like that, taking over at Eden Prairie, Tim Hartung is taking a sabbatical, I suppose, would be the word. Step down from the head coaching reins at Stillwater. And, you know, there's nothing, don't anyone think too much into this, you know, or don't read into it. I think he wants to spend some time with his family. It's a very, very demanding job. And, you know, there's no controversy or anything like that. It's really just a family-based decision. And, you know, he may or may not be back next year or the year after, but so Stillwater's got a vacancy right now. I'm not sure if they filled that for their head coaching job. But one of his assistants from last year, you may have heard of him, Jim Jackson.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
He was an assistant at Stillwater last year. He was also a longtime head coach at Apple Valley. He is now the head coach at Staples Motley? Yes.
Because last time, I know there was at one point this summer we talked, and there was a rumor or a thought or something, he may be heading out to like Idaho to coach with Scott Davis.
Yeah, him and Scott Davis got like co-head coaching jobs at Sandpoint, Idaho together. And I have no idea how or what, or I mean, how that even came about.
Right.
But somewhere in the mix there, apparently Coach Jackson has a cabin up in the Lakes area around Staples.
Sure.
And he was doing like a wrestling camp. And basically, that went really well.
Yep.
And they were in the market for a new coach. And there was also a teaching job available.
Nice.
So he's teaching up there and the head wrestling coach.
Awesome.
Yeah. And except I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think he already had a house or a cabin in the area. So it was a really easy.
Everything just fell into place.
Yeah. Everything fell into place. It was the right place, the right time for Staples Motley.
Yep.
For Jim Jackson. And yeah, so he's teaching up there, coaching, and they got a lot of tough young kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Tappy boys, there's a handful of them. They pretty much only produce wrestlers these days.
Right.
And then I think Berja is how you pronounce is the name. That's another family they got some tough young kids coming. They're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, you know, and especially if he's got a place up near there anyway. You know, it might be someplace he's enjoys the area and wouldn't mind settling in there and being there for a while. And we all know if you give him a little time, he's going to find a way to build a team, right? So that'll be fun to watch to see how that goes.
Yeah, and then just another kind of just a case of the right place at the right time.
Cool.
You know, I'd like to say that segment was brought to you by Elsmore Plumbing. Jason Elsmore Plumbing. Give this guy a shout for all your plumbing needs in and around the Rochester area, Al.
Excellent.
You know who else I got to give a shout out to? Jim Biskins.
Okay.
Dr. Jim Biskins. What is the name of his business? Is it triage. He said he's got a chiropractic clinic over in Elko, New Market. I should have looked.
Oh boy, we should have looked it up. Triage sounds right. I think Tria is, you're thinking of that as that big injury clinic up in the cities or whatever. I think Triage is involved in the name.
Triage.
It's not a very good shout out to a sponsor.
I'm just shooting from the hip here. Like, how about this? Triage Wellness Institute.
There you go.
And chiropractic care in the Elko New Market. You know, so I had some bus troubles here at P&L, and Dr. Biskins, he helped me out a little bit. So he gets a sponsorship on the show here tonight. And I know in the past, a lot of wrestlers have gone to see him for some of their, you know, ailments in and out of the season and discomfort. Sure. And it's if you don't know him, he's a wrestling dad. He's Coy Biskins' dad. He's a New Prague wrestling supporter.
He was a heck of a wrestler himself.
He won't tell you that, but yes. I mean, he's a wrestling guy through and through.
Right.
So don't be afraid to give him we got a lot of friends that are chiropractors.
Yeah.
So, you know, we usually don't go down this road too much. You know, Dr. Steve Galiva, Dr. Eric Hahn Lindemeyer.
Right.
I mean, we could go on and on, but thanks a lot, Dr. Biskins, for helping me out when I had some bus troubles a couple weeks back.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to go into it on the show here, but you kind of gave me a rundown. That sounds like quite a weekend for the bus.
What a headache. What a freaking headache. You know what? It's a good thing I got good insurance.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to call Ashcon Mavari over at State Farm Insurance for all your insurance needs.
That's right.
And ask for the wrestling discount when you give them a call.
Yes. Insist on it.
Insist on it.
Oh, man. So you mentioned sponsor ref, right?
Yes.
That's something that we started last year. The whole idea, for anybody who wasn't aware of it, is we find sponsors that are willing to throw $100 in the kitty, and then we match up that sponsorship money with new referees. And we've got, I think last year we did, I don't know, 5 or 6 or so new refs, and we had probably another 6, 8, 10 sponsorships available. We don't collect any of that until we have a referee identified, but we work closely with Rod Frost of Gold Country, and he puts us in touch with the new referees, and we get the money transfer done so that we have sponsors donate $100 to any new ref, and that just kind of helps them out, whether they've got to buy some clothing or just a starting bonus or whatever it is, just a little bit of an incentive.
Well, yeah, I think it kind of pays for their dues,
yep.
Right? There's like a small $40 dues or something, and then their pants and shoes and shirt.
Black shoes and shirt and all this stuff. And even if some of that is, waived for that first year, we just wanted a way to encourage people to help out and try it. And if they only ref 3 or 4 different events and find out it's not for them, so be it. If they do it all season and turn into a lifelong wrestling official, even better. That's kind of the goal. But we talked to Rod. We're actually, last year, our refs were all Gold Country guys. It kind of was a last minute deal that came spur of the moment during the Ask a Ref segment. Kind of came out of nowhere. We said, that sounds great. We'll do it. We made it happen. Rod has been working to work with some guys from other organizations like Rick Rude and from down south and the other reffing organizations. And we believe we're going to have maybe upwards of 10, 12, 15 new refs across the state in different organizations. And we would love to find sponsors for all of those. So if you were a sponsor last year and we didn't end up reaching out to you for that $100, you're on our list, and we'll probably reach out to you this year. If you're not able to, so be it. But if you are, that's awesome. If you aren't on our list and you're interested in sponsoring a new ref, it's $100, and we won't ask for the money until we have the name of the ref that's ready to receive it, that they're all signed up and trained in and that sort of stuff. And then we'll put you in contact with either Rod or the lead from those other organizations, get them the $100, get it the new official. We tweet out a picture of the new official as they're officiating one of their first matches or duels or events. And we can either let you do it anonymously or call you out and thank you publicly. So anybody interested, let us know via, you know, text, email. Word of mouth is okay, but both Josh and I have been known to forget things. Oh, so yeah. Way better to do some sort of an instant message or email or text or whatever, and we'll get you on the list. So looking forward to that. Speaking of Ask a Ref, we're going to probably have to line up someone to do that fairly soon, aren't we?
Yeah, that, we usually do that before the season starts. Where are we at? Are we about a month away right now? A month before the start of the season?
Yeah.
Really, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, maybe? Probably right now would be a typical captain's practice type time frame, right?
Maybe that'll be our next episode.
It could be. We're going to have to see if we can find any refs that would be willing to do it and qualified.
We don't want to mention any names right now because we don't want to turn people off. We don't want to scare the chase the listeners away.
Right.
So.
Oh.
How many years have we done Ask a Ref? Is this, how many times have we done it? Have we done three?
We've done it every year. I'm not sure. I suppose probably three-ish. This would be our fourth, I suppose.
Yeah, we got to. All right. There we go. Let's plan on that. Let's plan on the next one being Ask a Ref.
Nice. Yeah, we'll get that lined up. I don't have anything else.
I don't.
We talked about a lot of different things. We skipped or missed a lot of things because there was so much going on. But our plan is to get back in studio on a little more regular basis, especially once actual wrestling starts happening. And we'll go from there.
Yeah. And, you know, as we get back into it, if you know of anything going on in the wrestling world that you think is worth us sharing, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to us. Text, DM, Instagram, whatever, all that stuff. You know, I think we're on all those social media sites, right?
We are. You know what? I know we're wrapping this up, yeah. But speaking of Instagram, WrestleMN1.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that.
Oh, so, yeah.
I didn't even have that in my notes. So Minnesota's number one, the wrestling event that that we helped out with. During COVID, and then again last year, was scheduled for this year, and it got delayed.
Right.
As of now, it's on hold, pending a possible new date. Essentially, right, that first year, there was literally no wrestling across the country. There was nobody wrestling during COVID, and if they were, it was little tiny practices in gyms that people didn't know about and that sort of thing. And wrestlers were dying to wrestle and compete. Fans were dying to watch. And we were asked to help out with an event here. And it was incredible. We've talked about the stats before, you know, 23 state champs out of 26 wrestlers the first year. One of the three that didn't win lost to another person that was from that Minnesota. I mean, we had literally the best guys in the state, period. And we know from all of our talk about international and Fargo and all these other things that our top guys in the state are right up there nationally and even internationally. So that first year we did that event. It was incredible. It was awesome. It went great. We did it again last year, and it was still really, really good. But wrestling was starting to happen again last year. This year, you know, if we just went back and talked about the Colhan Lindemeyer, Max McAnally, Ryder Rogatsky, Bennett Berge, like these are the guys, these would be the headliners at a show like this. They're wrestling overseas. They're wrestling at Fargo, they're wrestling at Super 32. There's a lot going on, and some of them are not necessarily able to compete again right now.
Yeah.
There's just so much going on. So as of now, it's on hold. There's some discussions going to happen over the next couple of weeks about a potential reschedule and if we can get kids lined up to wrestle in that event. I don't know if it is or isn't going to happen at this time, but I just want to shout out to all the guys and gals and people that are involved with that, especially that very first year when we took on a project nobody knew anything about, nobody knew how to run that tournament, and it went off without a hitch and was just awesome. Super fun to be involved with. And anyway, I just wanted to mention, I thought of the WrestleMN1 Instagram when you mentioned Instagram, and I know people have asked both of us if that's happening or when. And we will certainly, you know, repeat the information that WrestleMN1 Instagram handle puts out when any decisions are made.
Well, and it certainly did not happen because of lack of effort behind the scenes.
Oh my gosh.
The committee and the people involved. So, you know, it just a number of circumstances. You know, we had like, I think 1 week alone, we had 5 wrestlers, you know, drop out.
Right.
That had committed and they weren't able to compete for whatever reason it was. It was, you know, like maybe an injury or... I think most of them were injuries.
Right.
But yeah, so like the you know, people were working hard to make it happen again. Just
and still are.
Yeah, still
right?
are.
It's just right now it's an uphill battle.
Oh, for sure. There's just a lot of opportunities going on, and you know, kids. Yeah, some of them just, you know, maybe have too much to lose if they go and think they have too much to lose if they wrestle and lose, and,
right.
and some don't think they have enough to win if they go and win, and then you got injuries, and then you got, you know, some of our very best wrestlers are playing football, which is great. So that's tricky to schedule around, and yeah, so make no mistake that there was a lot of effort that went into it, or has gone into it and is still going into it, and we'll see what happens.
There's probably been more effort this year than there was last year, raw effort. That first year when nobody knew what we were doing, There was tons of effort went in to just put it on. Kind of figured out that first year. The next year, a lot of effort was put in. This year, behind the scenes, a few people in particular have worked even harder than last year just trying to make this thing happen. It just, some things happen and some things don't. We'll see how this one shakes out. But just wanted to bring that up if people are wondering.
Perfect.
So, all right, well, we will line this up again for less than 7 months from now. We'll talk to everybody soon.
Sounds good. See ya.
Well, another great podcast. Great podcast. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing. Alan Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth. Podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling. Alvin, Josh, Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota Wrestling is for you. Live from the kitchen, I'm your studio too. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.